The following message by Pastor Bob Sheridan is brought to you by the ministries of Palos Bible Church. For more information, please visit palosbiblechurch.com.
I remember a few years ago, back when I was in Bible college, and there was a professor, it would have been my freshman year, who challenged us that we want to get to know this book so well that we could turn to any page of it and preach Christ. Now, there are a number of things that are found throughout the pages of the Scriptures. There is something called a systematic theology that has been done that takes all of these things and puts them together, though they're found in multiple places throughout the Word. We recognize that the Scriptures are the Word of God. We understand that, and there's Bible verses that encourage us to be able to know that and know that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's literally God breathed for our benefit. There are other doctrines for us to be able to know. There's ecclesiology, which is really the doctrine where we learn about the church and how the church is to function and officers and integrity and a number of things like that that you can read about and that are in various places. Eschatology. In our evening services, we've been going through the book of Revelation. It's all future events that are being looked at, and some enjoy and love being able to get involved in eschatology and learn more about those things. But can I tell you, the center of it all is Jesus. And the person of Jesus, who he is, that he is not just a man, but he is God. We literally have in the Old Testament glimpses of Jesus before he was born. Pre-existent, you know, views that we have of the Lord. And then he was born and he lived a sinless life. And he died on the cross and he arose. And he's at the right hand of the Father right now. We learn about all of those things. But the central thing even of Jesus' life, a life that had no beginning and that has no end, it's like the crosshairs is the cross. It's all about the fact that he came and what he did for us. So as we study the Bible, as we open it and spend time in it, which I pray that you will be doing in 2019, it's about the cross. At times we look back and we see the tendency of mankind, and I need you to know that we've taught this, it's given in the Scriptures, and that is the depravity of man. What does that mean? Does that mean I'm as bad as I could be? No, but it means I cannot, on my own, please God. I will always fall short, no matter who I am. I will fall short. Man on his own cannot get to God. Cannot get to God. Jesus needed to come. And not just live a perfect life and show to us how we ought to live good. Because I have news for you. You can't live good enough. You got that? Jesus didn't simply come to be our example. That's not enough. All I will do is fall short. I cannot be equal to Jesus. Can I get an amen? Okay, hopefully that's understood. Some people you talk to don't understand that, and they need to hear that, because until we realize we're lost, we don't recognize the importance of the cross. We're in our normal morning service going through the book of Galatians. We'll not go there today, but we just saw in the latter part of chapter 2 that if we are able to earn forgiveness, Jesus didn't have to die. I mean, he did it for nothing. Oh, no, he did not do it for nothing. He needed to come. And without him coming, without him living, without him dying, without him rising from the dead, we are of all men most miserable. But he did come, and he did die. He gave his body, and he gave his blood. We're about to to focus on that in the Lord's table. And he arose. We serve today a risen Savior, hope and help in the midst of the burdens and struggles of the day for us to be able to know about. And so I'm still in process, but I think of Truman Page being able to say, no matter what page of the Bible you come to, your goal is to know the Word well enough to move from there to begin to focus on the person of Jesus Christ, the work of Jesus Christ. As the followers of Jesus ended up learning, it's all about Him. They didn't just learn that during the time that He was here on earth, but the result of Him going to the cross, they ended up learning that. And so we find every one of the Gospels. I'm just going to give you a couple of verses. You can turn there if you choose or simply listen for this moment. But in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, it says, "And He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." What were they told to do? To share this message, because it's all about Jesus. You say, well, that's Mark. Well, okay, I just got started. Okay? Yes, we find it in the Gospel of Mark, but if we so chose, we could be able to go to the Gospel of John and learn in chapter 20, verse 21, as he appeared to them in the upper room, he said, "Peace be to you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you." To do what? To tell every living person that you come into contact with that Jesus Christ came, that He loved us so much. And again, that you know where I hear this verse now, or I see this verse is at football games. You know, it's not all written out, it's just the passage, but John 3:16. How many have seen that? Seen that post? Yeah, it's all. What's the verse say, though? "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. As the Father sent me," Jesus said, "so send I you." That was not just for the apostles. That was for every follower of His. Next week, we will be having Wally and Natasha, and grateful for them and their service. It's not just missionaries who are given the call to represent the gospel. Can I get an amen? It is every single person who breathes that has trusted Christ as Savior. It's our responsibility. It's not the them's. It's the us's. It's us that God has called. And if your mission is to serve God right where He places you, then be faithful to Him. But there's a call upon each and every one of us to be able to do that. The so-called Great Commission of the Lord to His disciples is found in different form in all four of the Gospels. Matthew chapter 28, we find on a mountain in Galilee, He told His disciples, literally, "Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, teach them, if you would, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things, whatever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." What was the message? Go. As you're going, make disciples of all nations. How does a person become a disciple? And the answer is, they trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. There is no other way. You got that? It's not that you take a class and you get a grade and boom, you're a disciple. It has to do with bowing the knee and recognizing that I needed a Savior and that what I needed, God provided. And you trust Him, and He is the Lord, and you become His disciple. Matthew ends up saying, and that's the one that we really remember, and we call the Great Commission. But it's in Mark, and it's in John, And it's in, you know, Luke. Did I give Luke, by the way? Probably ought to, shouldn't I? Luke chapter 24, verses 47 and 48. The message is given that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name above all nations, among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and you are witnesses of these things. You've seen it. You have recognized, and Jesus ended up wanting them to do this. I'm going right now to the book of Acts. I heard it in Sunday school. I'm going to mention it again. In Acts chapter 1, we find this. The disciples thought maybe it was over. Jesus came. There's going to be the golden age of Israel, you know? And they end up asking the question that's in verse 6 of chapter 1, Acts. Therefore, when they came together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said, it's not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own power or authority, but you shall receive power, dunamis, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. My witnesses you'll be witnesses for me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria to the end of the earth. So in Matthew and in Mark and in Luke and in John, they are all told, you know what? My purpose is that this message would get out. Just before Jesus leaves the earth, he's been on the earth for 40 days after the resurrection. And Acts chapter 1 talks to us about his ascension into heaven. And just before he went, the last thing he said, tarry, which means wait, at Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Now, can I just tell you something? You ready for this? Pentecost came. Stop waiting. It's time for us to get out there and begin doing the work. How do you know? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Acts. That's how I know. And by the way, that's just the highlights, because the rest of the New Testament is going to be built around the Church of Jesus Christ that is being developed around the world as the result of the gospel being heard. No gospel, no church. I don't care what it says over the building, because no building is the church. The church is individuals in whom dwells the Spirit of God. And yes, we are grateful to have a building in which we meet. Amen? Especially in this weather, it's nice to have a building in which to meet. But that's not as crucial as this. The Spirit of God in our life, because we by faith have trusted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. It's all about Jesus. Take the whole Old Testament, take the whole New Testament, and it comes back to this, the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Y'all got that? Because I want you to get it. I want you to understand it, not just for me, not in case I ask you about it afterwards, for the rest of your life, that this would be your focus. This is your stability, that my Savior came, that he lived, that he died for me. He didn't take his sin on the cross. He took my sin on the cross. And through him, I find forgiveness. Through him, I find hope and help for time and eternity. It's all about him. So as we come to the table, you know what? I just recently, and I'm not going to give you a long illustration of it, come into contact again with just dead liturgy, dead ritualism, people going through the motions, what they say, what they do, how they do certain things. It's all about doing the motions, whether it's what you memorize and say or what you end up doing. You know what? It's all about your heart, because it's all about Jesus. It's not about this outward stuff. People can do this outward stuff. This may be hard for you to hear, but if they truly know Christ, then they're saved. But it's not the stuff that does it. But somebody may do none of the stuff, the outward things, and truly be saved, because it's not about the stuff or the lack of the stuff. It's about Jesus and true faith in him. The gospel. You've heard it. Maybe you can even express it better than I can. I remember back when I had finished Bible college and was doing an internship at a church further north from here, and there was a group that came through and worked with me and four other individuals from CEF, Child Evangelism Fellowship, helping us to learn how to share the gospel with boys and girls. Sometimes we can use our Christianese, and it gets complicated, and the kids don't understand it. How do you put it in words and terms that children could be able to know? Well, Jesus said, you know what? Suffer, or allow the little children to come unto me, for as such is the kingdom of heaven. God wants us to trust and believe as a child would believe. The gospel hand. God loves me. Can you all say it? That's a fact. It's not a feeling. It's a truth for us to understand. You are a walking miracle. Even if the body is wearing out, you know, quicker than you'd like it to go, we are a miracle. We are here because of the grace of God. Come on, you heard this before. We've done something wrong, and we say this, I have sinned. Together, I have sinned. That's a fact also. Romans 3:23, other passages. All of our righteousness is like filthy rags, you know. Our tendency is to do what we want to do. That's the default, not to do what would be right. I take the middle finger, I put them together, and it forms a cross. And I say, Christ died for me. Come on. Christ died for me. And I understand, according to the scriptures, I could never earn it. I could never work for it. Whether I'm good or whether I have only done evil my whole life, God still loves me. Down at Pacific Garden Mission, I will share this story, and I know that there are some who struggle. How could God love me? He loved you before you were born. He loved you even though he knew your failures that you would have. He loves you. And he loves me. And he wants the message to go out. Brother or sister in Christ, I don't know how much longer you and I have on the face of the earth, but I know what God's call is upon us. Amen? Whatever else you're doing, we're to be sharing Jesus Christ. I come to the fourth finger. On it, I've got a ring. We call it our ring finger. And there was a time that I said, I like you, Adrian. I love you. And then there was a moment in time that I said, I do, before God and witnesses. And this ring is an outward symbol of a commitment that I made at a moment in time. It's not just, oh yeah, I always have. No, it's a decision that you need to make, to trust him. And so we move from informational, that Christ died, to allowing him to do a work in our life, where we come to the place that we turn from our way and we turn to his way. We repent and we trust in Christ. We come to the baby finger and we say, I am saved. You go, how can you say that? Well, because Romans says it. You know, whosoever believeth in the Lord Jesus Christ can be saved. With the mouth you express, with the heart you believe. And that's the terminology that's used. You're saved. Doesn't mean you're perfect. Doesn't mean, you know what, I'll never sin again. It means you're forgiven. You begin to have a relationship with him. That's what this table is about. The core of everything is Jesus. Without him willing to sacrifice his body, which we remember through the bread, I have no hope. But he did come, and he did give his body. Without him being willing to sacrifice and to see his life's blood poured out, there would be no forgiveness of sin. This goes all the way back to Leviticus. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. It's repeated in Hebrews because it's all about the cross. And so as we take these elements, we are reminding ourselves of who our God is, of what He has done, His call upon our life, and we serve Him not because you get points for doing it. That's how you get fully to heaven. We do it because He's done more for me than I have ever deserved or could ever deserve. And I want to serve Him. Amen? I mean, is that a huge thing to say? Is that something I need to debate, I need to develop? Or is it right there at the core of your being? Oh, God, forgive me for not being faithful to You. You were faithful to come and give Yourself for me. Help me today. My worship is not just my lip service words. My worship is not just taking these elements. My worship is my focus on You, that I would know You and love You and be willing to serve You. And so after this time is completed, this worship service, Lord, use me to have other people know about You.
You've been listening to Pastor Bob Sheridan. Pastor Bob Sheridan and Palos Bible Church reserve all copyright protections under applicable law. For more information, please visit PalosBibleChurch.com.